They say to be careful what you preach on, because when you preach on certain topics, oftentimes God gives you the God helps you to experience those things so that you have some sort of concept, some sort of context for what you're preaching on. And this week has been a little bit of a difficult one for me. And it's interesting because like 3 weeks ago, God said, I want you to do a series called Choosing Joy. And because of that, I think the last couple of weeks have been a slog. So I've mentioned numerous times now, but we've been building this deck at home. It's taken way longer. It's cost more money. It's cost more energy from us than we ever expected that it would. And on Saturday, yesterday morning, Tiffany and I are driving to Lowe's for about the 100th time since we started this project, give or take maybe 10 times. But it's been a lot of times. I can't wait to see my credit card bill. It's going to be awesome. We had a budget. It's okay. We're fine. But driving to Lowe's, and I'm just kind of, just kind of on autopilot driving and staring off. And she's like, hey, what are you thinking about? I was like, honestly, I'm just feeling overwhelmed right now. Because before we left, we went through and we put a second coat of stain on the railing. And I had made a list on Friday of about a dozen things that I wanted to get done this weekend. We went through and checked two things off the list on Saturday morning and added three things to the list. Have you ever had a weekend like that where you're like, okay, there's this whole other thing over here that I forgot about that now I have to do as well. The topper on all of it, it's not just the work, but it's been the heat, right? The heat this last week has just been oppressive, and we're trying to get out there as much as we can to do stuff, but at some point, like, you're starting to get headaches, starting to get dehydrated, it's just not a fun atmosphere, and not a fun environment to be working in. A couple weeks ago, I was listening to a sermon. Like I said, I felt God speaking to me on this topic of choosing joy, and then I listened to this sermon, or actually it was an interview. Stephen Furtick was interviewing this guy, and their topic for that morning was on joy and on making joy your job. In other words, that you should be looking at joy as an opportunity for you and something to strive towards. Then I finished up that interview, and I was probably outside working on the deck at this point, and I put my headphones in, and I pop on my sermon playlist, and it's Rick Warren, and he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and of course the fruit of the Spirit that he singles out for that message is on joy. So now I'm listening to him talk about joy, and it was just, it was so funny how these things came together. And then a couple days later, I'm walking downstairs in the morning. I'm still rubbing all the junk out of my eye. I'm getting ready to go make coffee. And as I'm coming downstairs, I hear this song right here. Right there. Everybody needs some joy. Remember this one, Owen? So this is one of these messages that I just couldn't escape from, right? As much as I was trying, as much as I was feeling down on myself, as frustrated and as overwhelmed as I was feeling, there was something about this message that God was trying to speak to me, and I believe that God wants to speak it to all of us here today. But the first thing I wanted to say right off the top is this is going to be a growing experience for all of us. That this is one of those messages where you almost feel like a fraud standing up and talking about it, because I'm not sure how well I lived it out this week. So I'm standing up here as your pastor, confessing to you all, saying we're going to work on this together, because the Bible is truth whether I feel it or not. And what the Bible has to say is true, whether it fits in with my life experiences or not. Amen? Amen. All right. God speaks to us in a lot of different ways if we're willing to listen. There's coincidences like, or like kind of what I experienced over those last, hearing those different messages and things, just a series of coincidences. But God uses those to speak to us. He also uses circumstances to speak to us and frustrations. And one of the things that I've learned to trust as I've gone through my life is I've learned to trust when God closes a door in a certain area of my life. So today we're going to talk about choosing joy in closed doors because I know that all of us have faced situations or will face a situation in life where we think that we're supposed to go one way. We think that God is taking us in a certain direction, and then that door closes and we're left confused, frustrated, hurt, angry. We don't know. We can't understand why that door closed, and we can't see another door to walk through. I know for some of you in here, this door looks like trying to find an appropriate work-life balance. And you're going through life, and you know that part of your godly responsibility is to be there for your kids, to play with them, to engage with them, to discipline them when they need it. And yet you're finding yourself pulled towards work. And so there's this balance in your life that is a door right now that you need to choose to walk through or not walk through. For some of you in here, you're having a hard time finding your place because you've tried, try to interact with a certain group, or you're trying to get into a certain spot at work, you're hoping to get a promotion in a certain area, you're trying to find your place and what God wants for you, and it feels like every time you walk and try and take a step forward, there's a closed door in your face. And how do you choose joy when everything seems so uncertain? Or there are some of you in here, and I talked to a gentleman this last week, that's just feeling isolated, just feeling alone, just not sure where his people were. And he's finding himself, looking back on the good old days much more than he's looking forward to the future. And if you find yourself in a situation like that, it might be because God is trying to speak to you and God wants to give you some joy today. So how do we choose joy? We choose joy when we learn to see through God's eyes. So our first point today, our first sermon in the series is going to deal with this idea of perspective and getting God's eye view on the things that God wants us to do. Our main text for this series is going to be found in Philippians 4:4, although we're going to read out of Acts 16 today. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Acts 16. But our main text is Philippians 4:4 that says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and I will say it again. Rejoice. One more time. "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again. Rejoice. Come on. Now, God wouldn't have put this in the scriptures if it wasn't possible to do. God would not have said this if it wasn't something that we could have and walk through in our lives. And so when it says rejoice in the Lord always, what he's saying is that it's possible. What he's saying is that God can make a way for you. What he's saying is that no matter the circumstance or situation you find yourself in, God wants you to have joy in the journey. And so we're gonna be talking about that today. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, because this was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, you might be thinking to yourself, Paul, it's easy for you to say. But when you look into Paul's situation during this time, he was sitting in jail. He was sitting in a Roman jail. He didn't know whether he was going to live or die. In fact, in chapter 1 of Philippians, he even says that explicitly. He says, I don't know which one's going to happen, but for me, to live as Christ and to die as gain. And so I'm good either way. Either I get to stay here and I get to continue to set an example, I get to continue to live for Christ, or if I die, I get to go and be with Jesus, which is far better. So he said either way, I'm good. He found the secret to rejoicing in every circumstance. He found the secret. In fact, later on in chapter 4, he's going to say, I've learned the secret to being content in each and every circumstance. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So we see in Paul this understanding and what it means that he is able to find joy, to rejoice in the Lord always, and we want to figure out how he did that. So Paul, like I said, he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi, but Paul is actually, his first experience with the church in Philippi was the result of a closed door. So I want to put a map up on the screen. This is Paul's second missionary journey, and you can see he starts off, I've got a laser pointer today. I had Judah go grab it for me. Ooh. Okay, so he starts off in Jerusalem. He makes his way up this way, ends up going across the Aegean Sea here, comes back down, and makes his way back to Jerusalem. Now, what's interesting about, so Jerusalem is down here. Philippi is way up here. What's interesting about this journey that he takes is it wasn't the journey that he was planning to take. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 16 together, and we're going to look at what it says when Paul was journeying along this. So the Bible says in verse 6, they traveled through the region of Phrygia, which is, if we could go to the next one, yeah. So Phrygia is this region right here. So he comes from Jerusalem down here. He makes his way up. He visits all of these different towns. God does some good things in the previous chapters. Now he gets to this region right here, Phrygia. And what happens is he attempts to go north. So he actually wants to make his way up here, travel back into Galatia, and then make his way back down. You guys will recognize Galatia from the book that we call Galatians, which was a region, covered this whole area right here. Okay, so he's trying to get up north here. If we could throw that third slide up, I even drew an arrow on it, so that we could see easily. So he's trying to get up here, and here's what happens when he attempts to head north to Bithynia. The Bible says, verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, which is right here, so it's somewhere in here, they come to this border, and it says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, so they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. So something happened when they got to this area right up here where they were stopped for a night. And they're praying, and God says, no, I don't want you to go that direction. And how many of you guys have ever experienced that before? Where you feel like you're on the right track, you feel like God is heading you in a certain direction, and all of a sudden, there's something that happens, and there's a closed door. Now, I was reminded of a teaching from Mark Batterson as I was reading this. So he made 4 points. I'm going to give them to you guys really quick. I can send you a link to the message later if you want. He kind of detailed this whole Acts 16, but it was super funny the way he said this. So I'm going to read it, and I think it'll bless you guys. Okay, for point number one. So he says when you come up against a journey that you're going on, he says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. If you want to make God laugh, tell him what you plan to do. Then he says, number two, what we see as a detour is often a destination. What we see as a detour is often where God wants us to be. Number three, someday we'll thank God for the closed doors as much as for the open doors. That's such a powerful thought to say, and I can see this at work in my life. We're going to talk about it in just a second, but someday we'll thank God for the closed doors as much as for the open doors. And number four, God wants you to get where God wants you to go much more than you want to get where God wants you to go. Let me say that one more time. God wants you to get where God wants you to go more than you want to get where God wants you to go. The truth is, if God has a plan for your life, if God has set things up for you, it's because he wants you to be in a certain place. And so if God is calling you, if we could throw that map back up, if God is calling you up to Galatia, if God is calling you to Bithynia, if God is calling you up here, he's going to make sure that you get there. But if there's a detour in your life and you end up in Troas and then you end up over here in Philippi, it's because God wanted you to be there. God wants you to get where God wants you to go much more than you want to get where God wants you to go. Truthfully, Moses Lake was my plan B. I thought over the last 10 years of my life, or a little bit longer than that, I thought that God had called me to Wenatchee, and I believed strongly that this is what God had for me to do. I served faithfully at a church for 10 years, believed that God was continuing to direct me in that. There were some things that happened, some frustrations that popped up, and kind of out of the blue for me, although looking back, I should have seen it coming, but kind of out of the blue, I was let go. And all of a sudden, what I thought was my plan A, what I thought was what God wanted me to do, that door was closed rather emphatically in my face. And now I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing? God, how are you going to bring this about? How are you going to, all of the things that we've been praying about, all of the things that we've been talking about, when I thought, God, you were calling me to Bithynia, and now all of a sudden I'm stopped and I'm stuck, and God, I don't know what you want me to do. Moses Lake was my plan B, but the truth is it was God's plan A. This is where God wanted me the whole time, and I believe that God orchestrated things so that I would get here in the timing and in the way and in the plan that he had. And I believe that God has brought me here for a reason. Thank you. As I look back on my life, in fact, a lot of the positive changes that I've gone through are the result of closed doors in other areas. I can look at other ministry opportunities that I've been involved in and other work opportunities that I've had, and there's been a closed door oftentimes before there was an open door. There was a closed door before I was able to stop and turn and look and see the door that God had opened for me over here. And so I remember a different time. We were on vacation, and I get a phone call from our landlord saying, hey, just wanted to let you know that I'm gonna sell the house that you're living in. You're gonna need to find a new place to live. On vacation, right? And now I'm sitting there, and the rest of our vacation is spent looking online for rental places. Turned out God didn't want us to rent anymore. God wanted us to buy a house. God had set up things so that we were able to, and that house has then blessed us consequently with where we're able to live now, because we bought in at the right time, and then we sold at the right time, and then we bought at the right time. God has blessed us, but it was because of a closed door. It wasn't because I was a man of faith and listening to God and all of these things, you know, like I would like to believe. It was this closed door that forced me to stop and to listen to what God has for me. If God doesn't close the door on Bithynia to Paul, look at the churches that he misses in here. So we have Troas here, where he spends a few days. Then we have Philippi, which is this letter that we're reading right now. Then there's Thessalonica. You guys remember the Thessalonians, right? Thessalonica. Berea is called out specifically in the book of Acts as a group of people that really studied the Word of God, that wanted to make sure that they were understanding the Word of God. There's Athens down here, and then he makes his way over to Corinth. We have a letter, actually a couple letters to the Corinthians. Then we have Ephesians. The city of Ephesus here. All of this area was the result of a closed door. All of that area was a result of Paul going where he didn't expect to go. You see, when we can have a God's eye view of things, then we can start to see the reason for the joy that we have. If God doesn't close the door to Bithynia, then Paul doesn't end up writing a big portion of the New Testament. So closed doors, then, are God's way of getting us to where he wants us to go. Let me say that one more time. Closed doors are God's way of moving us to where he wants us to go. And the truth is that there are times in life where it's not a specific closed door. It's not an end to something, but instead it's a tension that you feel. I listened to a series or a teaching one time that was called The Grace Has Been Lifted. And it was talking about how when you go into a certain situation, for a long time, things feel good. But then there starts to be things that pop up. Sometimes that's a hard time that you need to move through. But sometimes that's God's way of moving you out. I think about my experience in Lake Stevens, where I was a youth pastor for a while. And there were some things that started happening there where our staff meetings became more like me trying to give counsel to my lead pastor. And he was going through some family situations. There were some difficulties that were happening in his life. And I started counseling him more than we were dreaming and looking forward to the future of the church. At the same time, there were a couple of people on the board that kind of raised up and started taking charge and making different decisions. They ended up raising rent on a place that I was living. It was a whole situation. And looking back on it, I can see that it wasn't God slamming that door closed in my face, but I can see how there were all of these seeds of things that led to me. I called Jeffrey Portman, who was our district youth director at the time. I was like, "Hey, I want to talk to you about this because there are some things here that I feel like aren't right, and I just want to get your wisdom. I want to get your input on what's going on." He said, "Jeff, here's the thing. Sometimes God uses situations like this to move you on." He's like, "I was just talking to Jerry in Wenatchee, and he's looking for a youth pastor. I'm going to give him your name." And like 3 months later, we were moving to Wenatchee because of that. But it was this idea that things were just, I was just discontent enough that I stopped looking at this door and I started to turn my attention over here. When baby birds are getting ready to learn how to fly, you know, that their mom oftentimes has to push them out of the nest, right? You guys have all seen this in documentaries and heard about this before. How does the mom know when it's time to push the birds out of the nest? When the nest starts getting too crowded. And when the birds start getting big enough that all of a sudden the nest doesn't have the same amount of room that it used to. All of a sudden, there's more bird poop in the nest than the mom is comfortable with. All of a sudden, there's just more messes in general. There's more mouths to feed. All of a sudden, all of these things start happening that just irritate the mom just enough that she's like, "Okay." I wonder if you guys can relate. Those of you with elementary school kids, just keep your hands down for now. You'll get there. You know that's what happens in life, where it just the circumstances just kind of keep compounding on themselves. So sometimes when I talk about closed doors, I'm not talking about something that slams closed in your face. But sometimes God uses situations and circumstances to start to steer us in another direction because he's got somewhere else that he wants us to be. So you're sticking it out, but it could be that the grace has lifted in the situation that you're in. Now, this requires discernment, right? Because we don't want to run from every circumstance. We don't want to run from every problem that pops up in our life. That is a sign of immaturity. But also, just continuing to hang on when we know that God is moving us is not right either. So how do you discern God's will for your life? Three ways, really quick. The first one is it needs to line up with the Word of God. So if you're sensing a closed door, if you're sensing a new opportunity in life, or if there's a series of frustrations that are weighing on you, the first step is it has to line up with the Word of God. If you're feeling that God wants you to move somewhere just because of money, or just because of prestige, or just because of you know these types of things, make sure that what you're doing lines up with the Word of God. Make sure that when you hear about a new opportunity, that you take it first to the Word of God. What does God say? How does God expect me to respond in the circumstance? The second thing is we want to make sure that we're taking it to people that are more mature in their faith than we are. We want to make sure that we're going to people that have a close relationship with God that can give us wisdom and advice in this area. If you feel like God is calling you to do something, you feel like a door might be closing in your life, that's what I did in Lake Stevens, right? I called Jeffrey Portman. I said, "Hey, I need to know what you would do in this situation." He said, this feels like God is trying to move you on. And immediately, number three, that confirmed something in my spirit where I instantly had a peace. I couldn't name it before. I couldn't get there before because I believed that God had called me there and I believed that I was called to hang on. But as soon as he said it, it released something inside of me. And so the third thing then is we want it to line up with the Word of God. We want it to be confirmed by mature believers, and we want there to be peace in our own heart, knowing that this is the direction that God is taking us in. I heard this quote from Elizabeth Elliot this week. I actually came up at the board meeting. Lauren, this is the quote that I was trying to find, but I want to read this right now. It says, "To pray, 'Thy will be done,' I must be willing, if the answer requires it, that my will may be undone. To pray, 'God, let your will be done,' means that if it's required of me, that my will has to be undone. In other words, if I say, God, I want your will, that means that I don't get to choose anymore, right? God, I want your will, but I also want to go to Bithynia. God, I want your will, but I also want to do this over here. But if God says no, and I'm praying, God, let your will be done, I have to be willing to move to where God is asking me to go. Corrie ten Boom, who was a Holocaust survivor, or her family hid Jews, I believe, when they were in Germany. She was part of that movement. She said this afterwards in one of her books. She said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't know where you're going. She says, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off, do you? You don't just abandon the course that you're on. Instead, you sit still and you trust the engineer, that the engineer is going to bring you through it. Now, why did I bring up both of these quotes? Because one of them tells us to move and one of them tells us to stay. And how do you know which way is the right way to go? We're going to read the word, right? We're going to listen to the word of God. We're going to take it to other mature believers, and then we're going to listen for the peace inside of our heart, that confirmation. The Bible says, Philippians 4, that the peace of God will guard our hearts. It keeps us from making those wrong decisions, those tough decisions in life. All right. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap up now. And I recognize that I haven't read a lot of scripture yet. So a couple of quick thoughts. I'm gonna have the worship team go ahead and join me back up on stage, but a couple of quick thoughts for you guys as we wrap up this morning. So Paul goes on this journey of closed doors. From Troas, they go to Philippi. Verse 14, the Bible says that they meet Lydia, and she's the first convert to Christianity in all of Europe, because that's where they ended up there, was in Europe. So they meet Lydia. She's the first convert to Christianity. Verse 16, though, says that they're going to a place of prayer, and when they go to the place of prayer, they meet a slave girl who's demon-possessed. And as they're walking, they're like, okay, we recognize that this is a situation that needs to be dealt with. They turn around, they cast the demon out of her. Her slave owners realize that they don't have a way to make money off this girl anymore. And so they call the authorities, they have them thrown in prison. And I want to read you guys out of 16:25, because this is such a great example of seeing God's perspective, because Paul could have looked at it in this moment and said, this is a closed door in my life. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought it was the right thing to cast the demon out of this girl. I thought that God wanted me here in Philippi, and now there's a situation that's popped up. God closed the door. God, what are you doing? God, why are you dragging me through all of this where now I'm stuck in prison? Verse 25 says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining, trying to get comfortable, laying down, right? They were miserable because the shackles were chafing their hands and feet. They were just hoping to make it through the night so that eventually they could have their day in court. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says in that moment, in that face of that closed door, when they didn't know what God was doing, when they couldn't understand possibly why God had them in this situation, feels like they've been through one thing after another. It says around midnight, Paul and Silas are there. And what are they doing? They're praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to him. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake, such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came off. In that moment, the prison guard drew his sword to kill himself because he thought that all the prisoners had escaped. Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer, and not just the jailer himself, but his entire family ends up getting saved. And God uses, again, this closed door in order to work a miracle in somebody's life. So we can have joy when we start to see things through God's perspective. When we start to see our closed doors, not as an opportunity ended, but as an opportunity that God is giving us. And when we start to see things through a God's eye view, then we start to have joy in every circumstance, in every situation that we're in. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul said. I will say it again, rejoice. What I want to do is I want to open up the altars. I want to give you guys a chance. If you are feeling the weight of life today, if you're feeling conflicted, you're feeling frustrated, you feel like there's a closed door and you don't know how to get through it, we want to pray for you today. We're going to have our prayer partners up here. We want to pray for you. We also just want to give an opportunity that if there's something in you that you just need to give over to God, you say, God, I've been holding on to this for too long. I've been so frustrated because of this closed door. It's led to bitterness. It's led to frustration. It's led to concern in my life. I've been so irritated by this closed door. God, I want to give this thing over to you. Okay? If that's you in this place, as the worship team leads us, as Pastor Tiffany leads us today, we want to give ourselves over to God again and to trust Him that God has it under control, that God knows what He's doing, that God is going to make a way for us.